Moving on to growing interesting substances. Agenda paper nine.
Thank you, Tim. So we received a submission asking whether an entity recognizes subsequent expenditure related to biological assets as an expense when incurred or capitalizes such subsequent expenditure. We conducted outreach and performed some additional research, and paragraphs 11 to 20 summarize our findings. Paragraphs 21 to 28 present our analysis of requirements in IFRS standards related to subsequent expenditure. Based on our analysis, we conclude that an entity can either capitalize subsequent expenditure or recognize it as an expense when incurred. Applying paragraph 13 of IS 8, an entity applies its accounting policy for subsequent expenditure consistently to each group of biological assets. Applying paragraphs 117 to 124 of IAS 1, an entity discloses its accounting policy for subsequent expenditure when that disclosure assists users in understanding how subsequent expenditure is reflected in the entity's reported financial performance. I would like to draw your attention to question 1 on page 9 and ask if you agree with our analysis of the requirements in IFRS standards.
Nodding. Anybody want to say anything, or Bonnie?
The only point that I had, I have no practical experience in this particular matter, but you'd like to make perfectly clear.
I'm not.
I meant the agriculture, but that too, despite having lived in Amsterdam. The one point that I thought was missing was kind of the periodic reporting concept, which is between the two, I guess I won't say options, but between the two thoughts. But between the two what?
Approaches.
Yes, approaches. Thank you. I was not thinking of the right word. You can get to different answers depending on timing and from a periodic reporting, because if you have somebody reporting quarterly, you could get, I think you could get variances, at least the way I was thinking about it. But maybe I'm not thinking, again, because I don't have the practical experience from kind of like the agriculture accounting. It seemed like that point was missing. That's the only comment that I had. But maybe not, because if you fair value, actually, if you fair value it every quarter, you won't.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah. Okay, I was. I wasn't thinking, yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's not the bearer assets issue. Never mind.
Okay.
So on the first part of the paper and question one, I would agree that IAS 41 doesn't specify a capitalization or an expense requirement, and one needs to make a policy choice there. And discussion around accounting policy disclosures in IAS 1 is a useful discussion given some of the observations that were made in the paper about lack of disclosure around that. So I think that's good. The one sort of point on this that perhaps might be helpful would be to think about the potential of calling out or making reference to I think it's paragraph 10 of IAS 8 about when selecting a policy, and I'm not talking about the change in policy requirements of IAS 8, but more relevant and reliable, but in selecting a policy, thinking about relevance and reliability, and there isn't a more relevant requirement there, but there still is a, you know, it does direct you to think about relevance and reliability in making your policy determinations. And I think in a Canadian context, given some of the user preferences and whatnot, that relevance notion in paragraph 10 of IAS 8 would be a useful addition to this aspect of the agenda decision.
Bruce.
Thanks. I was just going to say,
I agree with where the staff got to. I mean, from a pure reading of the standard point of view, it's there. I mean, the only thing that gave me a pause for thought was just the inconsistency of IS 40. I mean, I accept the argument around the one is growth or not, but you kind of, when you go through the BC on IS 40, it kind of leads you to saying, well, the board clearly felt that for IS 40, the right answer was capitalization in a fair value model, and I just feel that we've got that inconsistency. The other thing I was going to say is that I was a bit uncertain about the outreach because it kind of looked like there, from what I saw, it did look like there was diversity in this. I accept maybe the cannabis growing is a new issue, but if not from an agricultural point of view, this isn't a new issue. So if there is, if there is, I mean, IS 40 is not a new standard, so if there is diversity, then my question was, well, if we're saying there's diversity on something that exists, and there is even some inconsistency with other standards, I mean, do we not want to fix that? But I mean, that's...
Just Guy, going back to your point. I think the reason why perhaps we didn't cover that is if you look at paragraph 10, I think there might be some differences of view on its applicability, because there is an IFRS that applies to the transaction. It's just lacking specifics on some aspects of the accounting. So we might be, if we were to comment on that in here, it might have bigger implications, I suspect, elsewhere than just on this agenda decision.
Because it's almost like I know that it's just in the basis explaining the lack of specificity in the requirements, it's almost like at least when the board, or it was the ISC at the time, it's like almost they gave an explicit choice. So I know it's not exactly the same, but it seems very similar to, say, IS 16 having an explicit choice over using cost or a revaluation model. And I think in that case we're just, we're a bit cautious because we could enter into wider sort of interpretation.
Yeah, it's a fair observation. The other way to read that, though, is there isn't something that explicitly applies to this decision in IS 41.
I can see how you might read it that way.
Yeah. That being said, if I think about another example that's related to this same issue, like a functional versus a nature presentation in the income statement. IS 1 calls out both alternatives. It still makes a lot of sense to me that in deciding what approach to follow in my financial statements, I'm going to think about what is relevant to my users and whatnot. And so I still think there's that the notion of relevance sort of works into your policy decision making.
I think I am empathetic to that view, but I think there's differences of view even in that exact example that you give in terms of whether it's just completely free or not. So I think again the same caution. Did anybody else have any comments on the analysis? No. Okay. So does that mean that we can go to?
Beaten to submission.
Sorry.
I have one comment.
Okay, sorry.
And it has to do with the question whether you should disaggregate between the cost and the change in fair value. And we were wondering why IS 8 paragraph 85 wouldn't not bring you to this disaggregation if it is relevant for users.
So IS 1 paragraph?
IS 1 paragraph 85.
So that paragraph's about a presenting of the key line items.
Mm-hmm.
And it's relevant to an understanding.
It could.
So I think, Tony, are you referring to when we talk in the next part about kind of separating out what I might call historical costs from all the previous changes.
Is that a form of disaggregation that Paragraph 85 might be applying to, for example?
The only thing I might say about that is that that's not necessarily just disaggregation, because there could be fair value movements in previous periods that are now related to what you sold in this period. So I think that potentially
is more than this.
It could be more than this, at least. I wouldn't want to make a comment on it.
Certainly. Yeah. You're going to cover the next part now?
Yeah. So paragraph 3244 discuss whether the committee should add this matter to its standard setting agenda. And we conclude that we do not have evidence to suggest that the standard setting on this matter at this time would result in an improvement to financial reporting that would be sufficient to outweigh the costs. Accordingly, we recommend that the committee does not add this matter to its agenda for the reasons set out in paragraph 45 of the paper. Instead, we recommend the committee publish a tentative agenda decision outlining the matter set out in paragraph 46 of the paper. The proposed wording for a tentative agenda decision is outlined in Appendix A. I would like to direct your attention to question 2 and 3 on page 16 and ask if you agree with our recommendation not to add this matter to the standard setting agenda and whether you have any comments on the proposed wording of the tentative agenda decision.
Does anybody have any comments they want to make before we ask question 2 of the committee?
I had a question. In paragraph 37, you say that you don't think necessarily that capitalizing or expensing would provide investors with information that would be useful to them. But what would be then the types of information users would be interested in? Because it struck me that during the reading of the second part of the paper, I couldn't find the answer yet. So, I mean, we will issue a tentative agenda decision. Hopefully, we'll receive feedback, and hopefully, we'll get some insights. But then, I would have probably I don't know. Maybe it's a matter of language, and it's pretty obvious for you, but. One of the last sentences of the tentative agenda decision, you're saying the committee has not obtained evidence to suggest that standard setting on this matter at this time would result in an improvement, blah, 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 blah. You mean the committee has not yet obtained evidence? But I would have added this yet, so as to reinforce the fact that we are expecting to receive some. I don't know if it brings anything. I don't know if it's just me, and because I'm not a native English speaker, then it's not useful because it's implicit in the language. Or
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't bring anything special. I understand that, but as a reader, so like Bunny, I'm not a practitioner of such issues, but I didn't get any insight on what would be useful to users in this instance. Mm-hmm. Reading part two, and notably on terms of what they were seeking for in terms of presentation or what they would like. And so we need to tell them, yeah, please answer. I mean, the users.
Mm-hmm. If it's helpful, Bertram, we try to set out in paragraph 37 in a table at least some information that was obtained specifically in the context of cannabis producers in terms of what at least the securities regulator in Canada found out it for that particular type of biological asset, the information that at least some of them have said they would provide useful. And I suppose our only point we were making then is that if that is the information investors are looking for, simply, doing an amendment that would require either capitalization or expensing of subsequent expenditure in itself doesn't get you that information.
Are you saying, Patrina, is what you're saying meaning that effectively what you have written there is explicitly coming from a comment a comment you received from users?
It's directly coming from information that the Canadian securities regulators got directly from a lot of work they did with investors in Canada about cannabis producers. So we quote in various places exact quotes from a report they did, and we also had the opportunity to speak to them to understand it.
I didn't get that.
Okay. Yeah.
Guy?
I want to speak to what Bertrand was just mentioning, but I forgot to mention one other thing in the first issue, and I was hoping I could bring that up now before I forget again. The other aspect that I thought might be useful on the first issue is paragraph 11 of IS 8. And if you were going to go down a policy decision to capitalize subsequent expenditure, well, presumably one would work through paragraph 11 in terms of developing their policy around capitalization, and that would presumably involve looking first to other standards that embed capitalization practices such as IS 2 or IS 16 potentially to develop their policy, as opposed to starting with a blank sheet of paper. I think you should first be guided by similar circumstances in other IFRSs, and if there was a way of incorporating that into the discussion around the policy matter, I think that would be helpful too.
It's the same issue.
I think it's the same question. I'm pausing over. Well, I'm just worried about whether it's actually appropriate to think that people would be in here in this situation. And also, I can blankly say they're not, but I'm just a bit nervous because.
Does anybody else have any comments they want to make before I ask you to vote on question two?
I think Guy's.
Oh, sorry, Guy.
Well, I wanted to pick up on the second part of the paper around standard setting to mandate one approach or the other. You know, I think the some in the cannabis sector might suggest, you know, ideally just a fair value less cost to sell model at all is not something that they view as providing all that useful of information when you're talking about essentially a consumable biological with a very short biological transformation period, and at the point of harvest it's destroyed from what I understand. So, and that growth period is quite short. So, you know, I think a lot of people might suggest that a fair value model in that context isn't providing a lot of incremental useful information. That's something that's more a historic cost-based capitalization model, and recognizing your gains upon realization provides more useful information. I know the submission or request didn't go that far to request that. The submission was about capitalization or expense and mandating one or the other. I agree, you know, on that point with the analysis in the paper that mandating that alone won't achieve transparency into the components of cost of goods sold disaggregated between that true historic cost type thinking, and then an overlay for fair value that involves a presentation approach on top of a capitalization approach to achieve that. So mandating one or the other alone isn't going to necessarily provide more transparency. And whether or not capitalization will make sense in other sectors that are applying IAS 41. I can't really comment on that, similar to the way the staff has analyzed this. Well, we have one sector that's questioning that, but you know, this is a standard that applies to a broad set of sectors. So I did like, though, the idea in the agenda decision, you know, essentially calling out, you know, if there is more information to share here, that would be useful, and it would be considered if other views come to light during the comment process. So I like that aspect of the agenda decision as well. So I think at this point, to suggest we should mandate one or the other, I think would be premature.
Ron Hunt?
I think Guy said more eloquently what I was going to say, which is I think in terms of standard setting, if the issue was if all biological assets were like the cannabis, that's probably not, I'm probably not coming out the right way, but with the short growing cycle and significant subsequent expenditures, maybe standard setting might make sense to get to useful information. But I think I don't know enough about the agriculture industry in general to be able to say that that's more generally applicable. And so I am comfortable with where we are in terms of the agenda decision, and we'll see through outreach whether this is a much broader issue.
Yang Sui?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, the Canadian approach is trying to say that not all biological assets are the same. Some biological assets are raised by the nature with minimum amount of cost.
Yeah.
But some biological assets should be grown by human beings to spend lots of money. So what they are proposing, I think, I am not a biological asset expert at all, but what they're trying to propose is that maybe we have to develop a new model for some other types of biological assets that we didn't think when we developed IAS 41. So, you know, as Reinhard said, it takes a lot of time and resources so that we cannot do it right now. But I think it's worthwhile for the board to think about developing some models for some different types of biological assets.
Okay, so with that discussion, now moving to question two. So show of hands from the committee, please, whether you agree with the staff's recommendation not to add this matter to your standard session agenda.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
And on the tentative agenda decision, the wording changes.
I'll only say we had an error at the end of paragraph one, thanks to those of you, just a typo that picked that up, so we'll correct the typo. Obviously put in there just to see how alert you were at paper 9 for this meeting. So anyway, thank you for that. We had a suggestion of a yet, and the last paragraph has not yet obtained evidence.
Okay. Am I going to show up hands for who supports the tentative agenda decision?
2, 3, 4. 13.